All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
It's not fair, you're
I appreciate you getting up here, bro. That is not easy. And you get up here and just pour your heart out like that, man, I appreciate you. Appreciate
you. I love doing this.
That's all right. It's called tenderheartedness, and it's missing in preaching today. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, being verses 9 through 11. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And I'd like to stop right there, but this has verse 11 also on this. And it says, and such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And there's some great verses there to remind us of what we once were. You know, those verses, the first few verses starting in verse 9, have to do with inheritance. That's not salvation. And people get that messed up and say, see, you have to do right to go to heaven. That's not what it says at all. It says, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That has to do with your standing before the judgment seat of Christ and getting rewards and inheritance. Inheritance is earned. Salvation is not something you earn. It's something you were given. Okay, it's a gift that you receive. So when it's talking about the unrighteous and the fornicators nor idolaters, it's talking, if you're going to do those things, it's going to cost you at the judgment seat of Christ. Those are things that are going to burn up. Sin will burn up, fornicating will burn up, idolatry, and that idolatry goes beyond statue of Mary in your front yard. Idolatry, that's covetousness, which is idolatry, just coveting something that you don't have, having a desire of something that God hasn't given you, but you are just, it's overtaking you. And you can make idols out of all kinds of things. We can make idols out of our kids. Why do you think God made Abraham, or asked him to, or told him to, I guess, he did tell him to offer up Isaac? Well, he didn't have to. Well, then he would have been an idolater. That would have been his idol, would have been Isaac. But of course, we all know how that story goes. He ends up going up there and offering Isaac, and God stops his hand as he got the knife ready to come down. But that says idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And you can park right there and really make some people mad today. That effeminate, we all know what that means. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And we have the propensity, we have the tendency of judging that stuff, of looking down our noses at that stuff. And that was kind of along the lines of what I was preaching this morning on the way God sees sinners. Well, we don't see sinners the way God sees them a lot of times. Oftentimes we see them as unrighteous, as fornicators, as idolaters, as adulterers, as effeminate. We see them that way and we go, man, they are wicked. We look at the sodomites in the world today and go, man, that is just wicked. We see the drag queen story hour that they have at these public libraries where little kids go, that's wicked.
Yeah, it is.
It's horrible. And it should be preached against. But we forget verse 11, that we do look down our nose at those things, and we do, because we have some knowledge, we have the Spirit of God in us, we have the Holy Spirit telling us these things are wrong, but we forget verse 11 where it says, and such were some of you. We were no better. What we want to do is put that sin way above how, in the scale of badness, that sin's way worse than anything I ever did. Well, not in God's eyes. Amen. And James says, if you've broken one part of the law, if you've offended one point, you're guilty of all. So we got to be careful with that stuff. I don't want to re-preach this morning's message, but and it has to do with compassion and the way you look at things and the way we look at a lost and dying world. They're sinners, and yeah, they're wicked, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. They have a devil that's got them blinded, a devil that has them deceived. And they've been offered the truth. They've been offered and they've rejected. And that's part of their blinding, as God's allowed them to be blinded. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They're blinded, okay? Because they rejected the word. But, you know, we weren't any better. You know, our sin, and some of we might be guilty of some of that stuff that's been listed there. And, yeah, it's been washed under the blood. And God's forgotten that stuff. Sometimes, you know, There's I can't remember where the verses are in Proverbs, but he tells us to forget. We're told to remember not the things of old, but then we're also told to remember the things of old. So some things you got to forget about because God's forgotten about it. But sometimes stuff like this, forget about the sin, but don't forget that you were a sinner too. Such were some of you, but thank God for that. But you're washed. You're saved in here. You've been washed away. That blood of Jesus Christ has washed that sin away. You don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. You're as clean as Jesus Christ is. But you are sanctified. I mean, not only are you washed, you're sanctified. That sanctification means you're set apart for God's use. You see that throughout Exodus when they start talking about the tabernacle and the different instruments that were supposed to be used, that they were to be sanctified. They made them, and then they had to be sanctified and only used for what God had purpose for them. That's how we are as Christians. God's got a purpose for us. We've been sanctified. You've been washed, and you've been sanctified. You can't be sanctified before you're washed. You've got to be cleaned up, and then God can use you. And God can put you to use how He wants. You are sanctified, and you are justified. Thank God for that justification. Man, it's... You don't deserve justification. You know, in today's world, we hear, you'll see riots take place when something happens, and you'll see people hit the streets and say, "No justice, no peace." No justice, no peace. If this thing isn't fixed the way we think it's going to be fixed, we're going to riot and we're going to burn the city down, our own city that we live in. Like you've seen in Baltimore, stupid stuff. People burning down their own CVS that they now they can't even go get their own prescriptions the next day. That justification, if we all got justice, we'd all be in hell. We'd all deserve to be in hell. I thank God that the justice isn't, it's not on our merit or given to us for anything we've done. It says you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because He's just, you get justified. Now, I mean, your sins were imputed on Him. His righteousness was imputed on you. And with that righteousness, you get justification. The justice is, you get heaven now. Which doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense to me. So you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. There's some good verses there. Those are things that, you know, it's a good reminder to ourselves that, you know, we're just dirty, rotten sinners. Romans chapter 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am." You're no good. You're a sinner. You still mess up. And, yeah, it's, you know what, I get sickened by some of this sin and some of this wickedness that's in the world, and I got to preach against it, and I'm going to preach against it, but you got to be careful. There's got to be a little balance there. You know, if all you do is think of how disgusting and wicked someone is, it's hard to have compassion on someone like that. When all you're doing is degrading and putting them down, it's not really going to help you win that soul or help you witness to that soul. So I appreciate those verses right there. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. He hits all kinds of stuff there. He hits, lustful things. He hits some greed there. He hits drunkenness. I mean, that right there should show you that Christians shouldn't be drinking, because it takes away from their inheritance at the king, at the judgment seat of Christ. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit. Well, in that's the drunkards. I mean, it's still wrong to do. No matter how bad people want to, or how much they want to try to justify themselves. One second. It's still wrong. I know they'll say, well, Paul said a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Well, one, it said a little. It says, be ye not drunk with wine. So he said, well, I can do it as long as I don't get drunk. Well, just because you've got a tolerance up and it takes 12 beers for you to get drunk doesn't mean you stop at 11 now. I mean, the where the excess is in the wine. That's where the excess is. In Proverbs, I was just there, 30. It might be 31. Go to 31. Proverbs 31. And when you get saved, you become a son of God, who is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You become priests. And here in Proverbs 31, verse 4, it says this in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy of that his mother taught him. So this is something that this king received from his mom, who was trying to instill some really sound logic here. In verse 4, it's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why not? What's wrong if a king drinks? Well, a king should be able to do whatever he wants. He's in charge. He's got people that can take care of everything. He's just to sit back and be fat and happy, right? Well, it says, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So what happens is, when a king drinks, he starts to break the law. So when a Christian drinks, he's breaking the law. And it's going to make him forget other parts of the law. That's why it says in Proverbs 20:3, that it says, look not upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. I'm looking for where it says, verse 33, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Why? Because your thinking's messed up. That alcohol twists things up and gets you thinking wrong. And it's called a spirit. You go drive down the road, you'll see a liquor store that says wine and spirits. Why? Because it's something spiritual. It starts changing inside of you. Along with that, look at Leviticus chapter 10. I'm kind of planning on going this direction, but it's working. Leviticus 10. I mean, that's something that these drunkards lose inheritance at the judgment seat of Christ for. Christians, for their drinking, their drunkenness, will lose rewards. It'll be stuff that they had coming their way, the Lord's going to have to take back because of their drunkenness. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Well, Aaron was a priest. He was the one to go in to make the sacrifice. And the Lord told him and his sons, who were going to be have the order of this priesthood, were not to drink strong drink nor wine. Why? Verse 10. And that ye may put a difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Drinking, unclean. Soberness, clean. There's a difference. There should be a difference between Christians and the world. There should be a distinct difference. People should be able to look at you. They should be able to, if they spend any time around you at all, they should get something's different about you. And it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told right here that there should be a difference between holy and unholy. Amen. There's a distinct difference right there. that one back there in Proverbs, I didn't finish that, go to Proverbs 31. So people will try to use these verses here to justify their drinking. They'll go to verse 6, where right after they just said, lest you drink and forget the law, it said, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Someone's getting ready to die. Wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Someone that's about to die. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more, because he's about to die. You know what they do today? I can remember my grandfather dying, you know, just loaded up with cancer and just in so much pain. You know what they did? Morphine. You know what that does? It helps him die a little bit more comfortable. You know, they didn't have morphine in Proverbs 31, so you know what they gave him? Strong drink. Wine. Why? So he could forget his poverty, that he's about to die, and remember his misery no more. He's in so much pain. That's what it was for. It was a medical thing, not to for someone that was dying. All right, not just for any. Oh man, I got a broken finger. I need to, you know, pass the Jack Daniels. That's not what it is. This is someone unto him that is ready to perish. So there's a difference there. I got a note in here. Let's look at Isaiah 28. I don't know what this is. Isaiah 28. That's what you do in your Bible. You put notes in there that link verses, and then you go, oh man, I knew a lot more of this than I thought I knew. Isaiah 28, verse 1. Verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Woe to them. That's never good when God's telling you woe. Whose glorious beauty is in the fading, or is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Overcome, like it can take control of you, like it's the cords of sin. Look at verse 7. But they also have erred through wine. We mean erred. Oh, you messed up. And strong drink are out of the way. And through strong drink are out of the way. You mean that'll get you out? Yeah, it'll get you out. Strong drink and wine will get you out of serving God. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. All right, from wine. From strong drink, being consumed by priests and prophets. Have no business messing with that stuff. So back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says that nor covetous nor drunkards shall inherit the kingdom of God. That'll cost you the judgment seat of Christ. But don't forget, so, and such were some of you. Thank God he took me out of that mess. That's why I can preach about some of that, because I've lived that. Amen. I've gone through that. I know what it does. I know what it did to me. What kind of person it turned me into. Selfish and worried about me. Worried about physical things. Takes away. It's a spirit that makes you forget and not care about spiritual things. So I thank God that I can say such were some of you, because now, some of that stuff I might have a problem with, but I thank God I do have some victory over some of that stuff.
Amen.
Why? Because he washed me. He sanctified me, and he justified me. All right.